Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost reporting for duty here on a Thursday morning for your Thursday delivery. We're excited to talk to you for the next hour or so as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts, including our last-minute chats about UFC 291 taking place on Saturday in Salt Lake City. Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje 2 at the top of the bill for the BMF title. So we'll talk about that. The card, we're going to give you tons of reminders of Goz and I, the watch-along that we'll be hosting Saturday for this event, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's when the four prelims that are free will be on. Let's watch them together. Let's watch along together. And then when the pay-per-view starts, we can continue to watch fights along with each other. Or if you drop off because the $80 just isn't in your budget, then guess what? You can keep listening to us, because we're going to be reacting to it and telling you what's happening in real time. In addition, we're also going to talk to Mark Ratner, the Vice President of Regulatory Affairs over at the UFC, a former Nevada State Athletic Commission chairman. And so this guy's a walking legend in the sport of mixed martial or combat sports. Well, in combat sports, I should say. And he's a Hall of Famer in a lot of these combat sports. So it's always a fun chat with Mr. Ratner. So we got a lot for you. Let's get to it. And I failed to mention, we're also going to talk about Jorge Masvidal against Colby Covington in court. We already know they fought once in the octagon. We already know they fought once on the streets of Miami. And now they're fighting in court. So guess what? I guess we'll lead off with it just because I brought it up. No sense in bringing it up later. It's on the tip of my tongue. And so really, there's not much to report because attorneys, you know, they talk about we have this great court system goes in the United States. And I don't disagree with that. You know, innocent until proven guilty. You have your fair day in court. You're represented by an attorney. All that stuff, right? But come on, man. This thing's still dragging on? Seriously, two guys just got in an altercation. Sure, Masvidal was on point. He broke his tooth, messed up his watch. Okay, but a few weeks earlier, Covington ragdolled him. Can't these two just go, boy, we're being dumb here, man. Let's just get on with making money. No. So we got to await Colby Covington's medical evaluations. How? I don't know. He was supposed to fight in London a few months ago. He was the backup, so medical evaluations should all be there, for crying out loud. And they extended, I'm just going to read you what happened here, because it's all this technical legal jargon. No sense in me fumbling through it. But on Wednesday, Masvidal had a hearing in Miami-Dade County Court. He faces these two felony charges of battery and criminal mischief following an alleged attack, even though it's on video. It allegedly happened, right, of Colby Covington last year outside of Poppy Steakhouse in Miami. So Masvidal did not attend the court hearings in person, or was he online, but he was represented for an attorney. Guess what, Goz? It lasted less than a minute as the district attorney representative informed Judge Zachary James that the state prosecutors, because they just need more time to organize and analyze medical evaluations of Covington. Hasn't been enough time in all of this, right? The defense also indicated it had motions pending on those evaluations. You know, when I read that, I'm like, holy cow. They're postponing it till October. They need till October, Goes. These are attorneys with staff to get all these medical evaluations.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like way too much time has passed by. And but then you never know, too, like how much of it is a ploy, right, to like stretch things out, cost maybe the other team a little bit more money. I don't think that they'll ever just sit back and go, hey, this has gone on too long. Like, I think this is the whole point. This is why Colby Covington is doing it, because I think he just wants to kind of bleed Jorge out a little bit money-wise. I think that's always been his strategy, you know, hurt him in his pocket. He claims the brain injury, which, yeah, which you're right.
Pocket.
It doesn't make sense. But see, that's part of it, I think, is I think part of his argument is probably going to be, because brain injuries heal, you know, that's not just like once it happens, it's never coming back. Maybe you could make the case, state the case, had this not happened, I would have fought this fight making this amount of money. You have to pay me what I would have made in that fight, right? So I think that's kind of maybe the angle he's going after. But even that being said, like I still think all this, it's shocking that it's still going on here and still kind of in the early stages.
Yeah, to me, it still seems like it shouldn't take a year to figure all that out. That's the part of the legal system that we have that pisses me off. The only ones that make money here are these attorneys. You know, they're going to bill each guy another couple grand. I showed up in court, $500 an hour. I was there, you know, parking. I had to pay for that. Give me that 35 back as well. And then in the end, you know, they'll probably settle for less than what they want. Both guys just sitting there wasting their time, wasting our time. One of our writers could be writing something else happening at UFC 291, or maybe even, hey, editor, you know what? I'm going to write something on Crawford and Spence happening this weekend. Or, hey, editor, I'm going to write something on McKee and what the timeline was on, you know, him pulling out of his fight. For those that don't know, he's out of his fight versus Patricky Frady. So he's out of that Grand Prix, it looks like. Bellator versus Ryzen, they're doing that again. A lot is happening this weekend, man. We got Manchester United. We got the boxing event, the UFC event, the Bellator event. Holy cow, my head's going to explode. But anyway, all right, whatever. Masvidal's retired. He's into promoting now. It doesn't affect him. It just affects Colby Covington. You think this will impact goes the Leon Edwards stuff? As we heard, till October, November, could this be part of the holdup of why that hasn't been booked?
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think it's all ridiculous at this point, but whatever. It ain't my life. It's theirs. UFC 291 taking place this weekend for the BMF title. Are you getting excited, Goes, for the BMF title? Two guys that are BMFs are going to mix it up. They're not the best lightweights in the world because we know Islam Makhachev is. They're not even number two because Chucky Olives is fighting Islam Makhachev. And Chucky Olives has actually beaten both of those guys. But they are fighting for the BMF title. Is it still silly or is it actually kind of cool?
I have no problem with anybody who likes this, enjoys it. For me, it's just not my cup of tea because, A, I think if you have this belt, you just can't lose while you have it. If you lose it, then it needs to go back into circulation. That's one problem I have with it. The other one is...
Wait, explain that again.
If you're the BMF title
like winner, Masvidal.
Like Masvidal.
Okay.
If you lose, I don't think you could still call yourself the BMF. Like, I think it just goes back into circulation. You know, I'm not saying it goes to the guy that beat you. I just think it goes back into circulation. You pick a couple other guys or something like that. Because to me, it's just silly. If you're
the, let me play off that. That's not a bad take. He's now retired, so he can't defend it. I guess he could have against Burns, but we know that it's kind of something isolated. It was a special event, and the UFC pulled it off. They gave him a nice belt. The Rock was willing to put it on them, so they were off and running, off to a nice start. Masvidal saying, I'm retired, so we need another BMF. All right. One of these two, and it sounds like one of these two, we had to take a stab at it, goes, Poirier and Gaethje probably have a few fights left, but that's about it. So wouldn't it be nice for one of them to be the BMF? Now, I don't know if it'll be another 4 years before we do this again, but then that guy can present it to two more guys that we think are BMFs, and we stick them in the BMF title fight. What do you think that little tradition that they got going on in that regard?
That's not bad. I think that's cool. But the last reason why I am not a big fan of this particular one is, to me, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal were BMFs inside and outside of the cage. I think that's what made it a little edgier than just being your champ, right? Like, if you're a champion, we all know that in the cage, you're a menace, right? You're tough. But what separated BMF from just a regular title was these were two guys that are considered mean on the streets, mean in the cage. And this time around, we have two guys that couldn't be any nicer outside of the cage, right? They're BMFs in the cage, but just overall didn't really have that same, I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same as it did the first time around based off of the two guys they picked. It's nothing against their fighting. They're great in the cage, but they just happen to be two pretty nice guys on the outside. So that's the other thing that kind of like makes me kind of go, I don't know.
So they need to have a little bit of
Swag outside of the cage too, you know?
Okay, so like when Nate slapped one of the Nelk boys and Masvidal the street fight stuff, or Nate Diaz and versus the Russians, like something like that.
Well, okay, on Spinning Back Click, I gave you guys Henry Cejudo and Mirab Davalishvili, right? Those are two guys that Henry Cejudo is constantly stirring up trouble, right? On social media and videos, he's calling people out. He's not saying whoever the UFC gives me, none of that. And then you have Mirab Davalishvili, who is devious and dastardly, right? He got in the cage, he's stealing jackets, he's running around causing mayhem at the PI. So, like, I kind of like that aspect of it as well, where when you have two guys, like, okay, I'll give it to you this way. If Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier ran into each other at the airport, I could see them having dinner with each other before they would have a fight. If Mirab Davalishvili and Henry Cejudo, I could see it maybe ending in a handshake or something, but I feel like it would be closer to, whoa, we got to be careful. Like, these two might get into it, that sort of thing. Like the Pitbull brothers, right? Don't you get that feeling from them? From Hamzat Chamayev, you get a little bit of that feeling.
But to me, I think Cejudo and Davalishvili are having dinner before they have a fight.
Maybe, but I think more people are saying, hey, separate those two than saying, anybody up for lobster? Like, I think those are the first.
I got an idea. I got an idea. You know when somebody says, dude, why is Coke so popular after all these years? You always hear somebody go, Coke.
Oh, okay.
You always hear somebody go, well, supposedly they got this secret ingredient that only two family members and one other person outside the family know what it is. It's just a secret. And then when you go, really, what kind of a secret? I don't know. It's just a secret, all right? I told you enough already. Or Area 51, what's going on? Well, you know, I know a buddy and he said, but you know, it's mostly a secret. I think what the UFC should do is, when Dana White is asked, so how do you fight for the BMF? He should go, well, listen, just like you said, goes, you got to have some swag to you, right? You got to be a badass in that octagon. Blood, sweat, tears, fans applauding, fans toasting drinks to it, bringing, you know, talking about your fights at the bar post-fight. But there's also this other element, this secret ingredient. And so then when the media pushes him, what is it, Dana? He just goes, I can't tell you. It's a secret. But wink, wink goes, you know what the secret is? You had to have gotten in some trouble, and it has to be on video. Except Dana can't say it because he doesn't want Cejudo going out there and just pushing some guy at an airport just so he can get on video so he qualifies. It just has to happen organically. Now, Dustin has one. Remember he was in some parade, and some guy said he had a sign, your wife's in my DMs. He goes, come over here, and I think he slapped him. So I would say he qualifies. I've yet to see Justin Gaethje have one of those. Now, Justin Gaethje, to me, is a scary-looking dude. I wouldn't be shocked if one day there was an episode of Criminal Minds about some guy that came from northern Arizona. And what's his family in there? I know they're in the mines or something like that.
I don't know.
And the kid was a twin, and he wrestled, and then all of a sudden he went off the deep end. And of course, they changed his name, right? But basically, it's something similar to Justin Gaethje. He does seem like he has that lunatic in him. But you're right. He's got a college degree. Nice fella. wants to work in social services when he's done. He hasn't had, I don't think, that problem yet of him being nasty, you know, in the streets. But I think that should be the secret sauce that no one talks about. Well, we all know what it is.
Maybe, yeah.
Nate's had his. Jorge's had his. Hell, we just talked about it, allegedly. Fabricio, I guess, had one when he attacked Colby. Tank Abbott, you know, he's got that mysterious fight. Lee Murray, fucking Robin Banks. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of Hamzat Shamayev. He had to be separated. I guess you would probably throw Jake Shields in there. He's mounting Mike the Truth Jackson, Paulo Costa. I think some of these guys have some of that on video. And if you do, you qualify, wink, wink. And then, of course, you also have to deliver in the octagon as well.
Right, yeah.
All right. Probably spent a lot of time on the damn BMF title. But it is happening this weekend, folks. It's 5 rounds, so you can't say, gee, I wish they could go 10 more minutes. This is cool. They're gonna. And they would have anyway because it's a main event. But look, if you're bothered by it, then just when the fight's over, turn the damn thing off and go to bed. You don't have to sit there and wait for Masvidal to put the belt around anyone or whatever, but at least enjoy the fight. That we can agree on. It's going to be a great fight. What about Ferguson? Did you hear what he said? He's going to win 5 in a row and be a title contender. Has he just completely lost it? He's 38 years old. He is fighting Bobby Green. I love that he's always been positive. I don't want to be a hypocrite. When he used to be on our show, I remember we'd hang up and I'd go, dude, that guy motivates me. You know, he just used to say a lot of cool things about just how things were flowing. He had that 12, 13 fight win streak. It was amazing, right? But he's got to have a little grip of reality too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's ways of being positive about your career without really sounding too unrealistic. Like what he just went way overboard with what he was saying, and you don't even have to say that. This is not really a question that's like presented to you. You know, he just took another question and kind of led into that. You have to be somewhat realistic, you know, and nobody's saying you have to say, hey, I'm gonna get crushed, I'm gonna lose, but you just don't have to go overboard with your statement.
He kept saying, this one's on me. I made some changes. I've heard that one before. Before it was some coaches, he made changes. Then gym location, he made changes. I don't like to pick on the guy, right? I really am a fan of his. Hell, I think he would probably qualify for a BMF title or fighting for the BMF. Because he just seems like he's kind of, you know, a gangster Latino kid. And you know Bobby Green is. All right, but that's where I can give some appreciation to Jorge Masvidal. I don't agree with everything that comes out of Masvidal's head. Trust me. But when he said, hey, man, I just used to see these punches coming. I used to zig when I needed to zag and vice versa. I just don't see them. I'm older now. I'm bouncing. Goddamn goes. I was like, salute, man. Here's some Temescal to you for being honest, you know. In no way was I going, pussy, you retired too early. Who's going to say that to him? He's the BMF. He's tough, you know, but he said it right. I still think that at some point you have to act like an adult and a grown-up.
Yeah, I agree.
But that fight should be good, and I can't imagine, man, the winner, the loser is really going to take a little tumble between Green and Ferguson. I hate to show anyone the door. I'm not the doorman saying that could be it, but you just never know. Look, well, there's a few more things to talk about, but let's get to our interview with Mark Ratner, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs over at the UFC, responsible for getting the UFC in all the provinces of Canada, into many different countries across the world, and of course, every single state in the United States, except for Hawaii. We haven't been there, but they are the sport is legal there. So let's talk to Mark Ratner. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes, always delivering the big names in combat sports. Today we get to talk to Mark Ratner, a vice president over at the UFC, but more importantly, a great human being, a Hall of Famer in boxing, in mixed martial arts, And guess what? He can talk hoops and football. We're going to do it all right here. Welcome back, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm delighted to talk with you guys. I saw you at our expo for a second, but you were too busy. But everything's good. And but I wanted to start off saying that this is a tough weekend for me because we got a huge fight in Salt Lake and we got a huge fight in Las Vegas, and I can't be in two places. So, but I've been waiting for Spence Crawford for a long time, but I'll be at Poirier and Gaethje. So, all good.
No exception could be made for you to stay back and just go to the boxing. Like, I'm sure you have an off day, right? Or vacation day.
It would be a bad form for me to say on a huge pay for you for us to be at the boxing. And I've been to most of the big boxing matches recently, but I'll catch this one on Sunday morning.
Does it have to do with the Utah Commission maybe isn't as established as some of the other ones, or you just have to be at every pay-per-view,
essentially? I just like to be at them, and in case there's any problems, sometimes the broadcast needs some information, so that's the way it is. But I'm looking forward to all about Spence Crawford, and like I said, I'll find out Sunday.
Okay. Well, this Saturday is UFC 291 in Salt Lake City, folks. It is a pay-per-view, like we stated, with Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje at the top of the bill. They'll be fighting for the second time for the BMF title. Alex Fajeda, Jan Blachowicz is your co-main event. Goz and I will be hosting a watch-along on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Report to duty here at MMA Junkie. You'll see the links, and you can join us to watch 9 fights, 4 free prelims, and then, of course, 5 on the pay-per-view. All right, so, Mark, let's talk about that. The BMF, what are your thoughts? Because you're an OG. You know, there's some people that are like, well, you know, they have their undisputed titles. You know, I'm not big on them. I love them, to tell you the truth. And then they made a real nice belt for the first one. They made it a big deal, and it hit a home run. The Rock was there. Duran walked out with Masvidal. But how about you? You know, what are your thoughts on this title?
I'm fine with it. Masvidal will be there presenting the belt that he won, and yeah, it's fun. And at the Garden, it was electric there, and it just it's entertainment, and it. I thought it went over well, and this one is a complete sellout, big crowd, and tremendous fight card. So. It'll be a fun night.
Who would have been two great candidates for a BMF fight in boxing when you had your run? And I know that was a long run that you had in boxing. So, you know, feel free to pick from late 80s to mid 90s, the different positions you had there within the commission.
No, it just starts with Iron Mike, with Tyson, because the heavyweight champion was the BMF, and still might be. So I would start with Tyson back then, and it really didn't matter who we would fight, whether it be Evander or Riddick Bowe, you know, any of those big guys. An interesting fight would have been Tyson Fury and Mike Tyson. That would have been fun, but Fury would have outweighed him by probably 70 pounds and maybe 8 or 10 inches, so maybe it wouldn't have been, but yeah, Mike back in my day would have been the BMF.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought you were going to say Roberto Duran. I don't know why. You know, he had a rough upbringing as well, and I'm sure you probably could have picked 10 of them if we sat here for the next hour or so. But I think I would have started with one of the four kings. But yeah, I mean, Tyson's an excellent choice too.
Well, Roberto at 135 was unbelievable. There's no question about it. And he was nasty. Tommy Hearns, I think Tommy Hearns in a street fight would have been knocking everybody out. So, yeah, I mean, you can go back through them all. But I'll stick with Mike.
From the famous Kronk Gym, Thomas Hearns. That's right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. We're going down memory lane here. And then look, we'll go back to UFC 291 here in just a sec. Oh, no, actually, we were on 291 and somehow we moved over to boxing. All right. So let's stick with 291. BMFs. Should it be annual? Because you have a lot of BMFs in the organization. I think you have about 700 fighters on the roster. So it's not difficult to pick some BMFs out of there? Or do you like the every 4 year type thing, like the Olympics, or does it just have to feel right? What are your thoughts on it?
I think it just has to just naturally evolve. I don't think you can have it a yearly thing. Dana has a great feel for these kind of things, and if the timing's right, that's what we'll do. But it won't be every July or anything, no. But it's fun. It's exciting. But what makes me happy on this card is look at the undercard, if it's such a thing, or the main card, that everybody's a star on there. I mean, there's so many good fights. So it's one of our biggest cards ever.
Mark, this Poirier-Gaethje fight, we all remember the first one, and just it was nonstop action. But the one thing that stands out for me in this one is they're in Salt Lake City. And athletes that go there, it just, no matter how early you get there, it kind of just, it's like somebody sitting on your lungs, right? Like, do you anticipate this fight maybe being a little slower because of that, the altitude? The pace from the first fight was just tremendous.
Yeah, they both come to fight. Altitude could play a part, but I think they've been training for a long time, and they're both ready. I look for it to be a war. And neither guy will back up, so you know it's going to be action.
If Mark Ratner from today could speak to Mark Ratner when you first took your job with the UFC, what are some of the things that you've kind of learned or picked up on MMA that you would share with younger Mark Ratner?
Well, the first thing I learned, and this goes back to when we first sanctioned it, so it's over 20 years ago, and I've been with the UFC for 17, but the first thing that I learned, and I remember this very well, I thought anytime a fighter was on top, that he could not lose. And I have found that there's so much more to it than just with the jiu-jitsu, with the judo. A guy on the bottom sometimes wants to be on the bottom. They can just snatch an arm bar or an ankle lock, and I just had no idea, and that was a good lesson for me to see there's much more to it than just ground and pound.
Mark, in boxing, in my tenure watching boxing, there have been rule changes, right? Going from 15 rounds to 12. There's been things that a couple major things that have happened. In the UFC and mixed martial arts, you know, they're going to have their committee meeting this week. Do you feel like we've kind of figured out the system to a point where from going here on out, not very many things will change? Or do you still anticipate maybe like a major change? You know, in my lifetime, in the NFL, there wasn't a 2-point conversion for a long time. Then all of a sudden that came around, and now it feels like football wouldn't be the same without it, right? Do you feel like in mixed martial arts, there's still maybe a couple changes that may happen that will be very major?
I don't think so right now. I'll be going to the Association of Combat Commissions actually Monday discussing some of these kind of things, but I don't see anything major. There'll be some fine tuning. We're always working on the officiating and learning on that, and the judging especially. It's a very hard fight or sport to judge because there's so many ways you can inflict yourself. So I think the more we do when it comes to teaching and having seminars, those would be the major changes, but I don't think any minor, anything, or I should say anything huge will happen. No, I'm not at this time thinking that.
Did you used to go to the athlete summits that the UFC used to have back in the day?
Yes.
Did they communicate the rules of MMA to the fighters? I still find that a lot of fighters are lost when it comes to talking about the rules and why they just lost a split decision. Now, it could just be their ego and they're trying to cover up because it's embarrassing. Let's face it. You're in front of millions and you get your butt kicked. And sometimes you're like, I thought I did this. I thought I did that. But sometimes when I hear them do interviews, they just don't seem to really almost know the rules, you know, or at least what the judges are watching. I tend to defend the judges a little bit more. They're not blind. They definitely have a better seat than we do. They definitely are familiar with the criteria. I just try and tell them offense and damage. Focus on that.
That's exactly right. in duration that comes into play, and damage is certainly a big part. I am amazed how many cornermen, let alone fighters, they don't know if there's an accidental foul in the second round. We'll have a no decision. You would think there's some elementary rules that everybody should know. They do have some with the different commissions, rules meetings. There's no excuse for not knowing what's going on. And all we can do is keep educating.
Should the summits come back? I mean, now that there's so many things that you guys can do with the PI, you know, you have the Apex next door, so there's plenty of room to have them no longer be out in the dark in terms of like, well, I didn't know that supplement was no good for me. You know, I mean, it should be plainly obvious at this point what you can and can't put in your body. And then as far as like weight cutting, because look, we're at 30 years. I love it, right? In boxing, you know, I'm sure you could probably tell us, you've probably been ringside for the worst of the worst. In MMA and the UFC especially, which is what we're focusing on yet, we've never had something like that, thankfully. And a lot of it has to do because there's aspects of this sport where it is safer. But I'm just wondering if at 30 years, maybe we just, like I say, graduate, evolve, communicate better to the fighters, and give a better product. Because I'm thinking the only thing that really comes out of every weekend that kind of sours, I think, new fans is just that judging controversy, things like that.
Well, obviously, judging is so subjective. But when you talk about weight cutting and what you can and cannot put in your body, we have a in charge of our drug testing, Jeff Nowitzki. He is on the phone night and day with fighters, and they ask him, "Can we take this?" And it's real important. We still have some people testing positive, but nowhere near like it once was. When it comes to weight cutting, what amazes me is that, first of all, we have the fighters come in on Tuesday before Saturday, so we know exactly what they weigh, and we can monitor them every day, and we have nutritionists who travel for us at these fights. But 90% of the fights, they've had these fights for six weeks or 8 weeks. Why should any fighter come in for a 155-pounder at 175 or 178 and have to lose 20 pounds in 5 or 6 days? That's what I find really perplexing. There is no reason to come in. You should maybe come in 7 or 8 pounds, but these guys have to cut 15, 18 pounds and then put it back on the next day within 24 hours. It just doesn't make sense to me, and I don't think it's medically good for them. But the culture from wrestling, slowly we're changing, but having the PI, having nutritionists, having trainers who travel with us, certainly is helping.
Would you be in favor of closing the gap on some weight classes and going 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 205, and then heavyweight? Would that help maybe? Because I think the answer is they don't want to get their ass handed to them by someone bigger than them that's just as skilled but just happens to be bigger.
Yeah, every once in a while it's been discussed, but what's amazing to me, and we have done studies, and I did this in boxing too, these guys that that gain 15 pounds and within 24 hours, they don't necessarily win. Some of these guys who only gain 5 or 6 are just as good a shape. And these guys who gain that much weight, sometimes a little bit slower, a little bit loggy, and there's no material advantage of trying to be smaller and think you can gain that weight to win the fight. We have found it's really 50-50. So I would rather have people come in closer to the weight they're fighting at. But that's going to be a long time. It's a culture, and we keep working on it.
Do you like what California is doing, or maybe even one championship? I don't know if you follow the competitor with the hydration levels that allow the fighters to basically come in and fight on fight night. Well, like basically the next weight class up, so they don't have to do the drastic weight cut.
I'm not. I'm not. so much in favor of that. I do work almost on a daily basis with California, so we're very attuned with them, as well as the Nevada Commission works with them. So, and I like the idea of how much weight you can gain between the weigh-in and the fight. And Andy in California is one of the most proactive commissioners and commissions in the world.
Mark, here in Las Vegas, every day almost, we drive past this Allegiant Stadium, and we just have these dreams of one day the UFC having a huge show there. Are we any closer to that? And who are the fighters you feel like need to be involved for something of that magnitude?
Well, that's a real tough question. You're talking about a stadium that holds over 60,000. I think about it. You would say Conor against somebody. Would that be a big enough fight? John Jones against Ngannou would have been a big fight if that could have happened or would have happened. But what I have found is filling up the T-Mobile with 20,000 is pretty cool. We've had some outdoor fights and big fights. We had a big fight in Sweden that way with, I think, 40,000. We certainly had Australia with Ronda with 55,000. But I personally like the more intimate stadiums.
Yeah, you know, you brought up Ngannou. And one thing that we've been talking about on our show is, obviously, there's been effect of boxing on the UFC, right? But what about the UFC on boxing, right? The option of Tyson Fury taking this fight. There's plenty of people for him to fight, big names, and they're waiting. And this kind of happens here and there. What do you think the effects of mixed martial arts arriving, and has it had much of an effect on boxing? And now a big payday like this and a big fight of this magnitude, what are the effects that mixed martial arts has had on boxing?
Well, what's interesting, these big boxers, you know, even with the Paul brothers, they're fighting guys who are not fighters, they're not boxers, they're fighters. But so Tyson Fury and Ngannou, Tyson is got a huge. He's going to be big favorite, and he's one of the best boxer fighters in the world, actually in heavyweight history. So it's great for Francis. It's a tough fight for him. But, so far we haven't seen any of these boxers come over and want to fight MMA. We did see James Toney try it with Randy Couture, and it lasted, 2 minutes? They put him in a leg lock, and that was it. There's an effect. It does show you that some of our MMA fighters have that publicity now, whether it be like Nate Diaz, that'll be a big fight. And because of MMA, it's made him into a bigger star. So I find it interesting, and I think that might be a fun fight. I hope that that Nate has a I like to see him win. So
the sport has gotten so big, and you guys are traveling all over the world. I got to thinking the other day, though, did the loss of Ngannou halt maybe the UFC going to Africa? Is that still something that's very much alive and on the table?
Well, I think that inevitably Johannesburg doesn't matter about. I think they're hungry for it. We certainly have some African fighters and Izzy and Camaro. And there's a whole world out there of fighters, and we'll get we'll see more and more. But I think hopefully in the next year we'll go to Johannesburg, and I think you'll see us maybe in the next 18 months or less in Madrid. I think that could happen too.
Nice. You know, when you go on social media, there's a lot of funny things that you see. And one thing that I saw yesterday that really got me thinking, they did the GOAT of every sport, right? So they got Tom Brady, they got Michael Jordan, you know, all their opinions. And then I came across old Floyd Mayweather. And my take on this has always been a little different. I've always said, to me, he's the greatest boxer that ever lived. But for me, I feel like a guy like Sugar Ray Leonard or Muhammad Ali was the greatest fighter that ever lived. I think there's a difference in boxing between those two mentalities and how to take on a fight, fight any man, anytime, you know, of your era, and kind of mix a little bit of risk and reward, right? What do you think? When it comes to GOATs and all that, all this talk and different sports and all that, how many times do you go back and forth on all that?
Well, I think about that. In the last 25 years, there's been nobody like Floyd. He doesn't even get hit that much. But if you go back in the history, whether it's Sugar Ray Robinson, one of the best fighters I saw in their prime, we already mentioned Duran, but was Julio Cesar Chavez at a smaller weight. I mean, he was, to the body, it was unbelievable. He was a hell of a fighter. I have found it's really hard to compare. The heavyweights, Rocky Marciano, I don't think ever weighed more than 187. Ali, I think he maybe fought at 210 at the most. And look at these heavyweights now. It's different. But Floyd, he's been a very special fighter for the last 20 years. But I don't compare eras. It's just a different world, different nutrition. But the techniques are still pretty much the same. And that's what makes Spence and Crawford. They're more throwback fighters who come to fight.
Who do you like in that fight that's coming up this weekend?
I think that I've seen him fight a little bit, but not in person. Crawford once, but Spencer's remarkable that he recovered from his accident.
Yeah,
I think that that Bud Crawford is a small favorite, but this is a real battle, and I look forward to. I think that at least 9 or 10 rounds, but. I wouldn't make a pick. I think it's that even.
And, you know, inevitably when two great boxers box, the unofficial pound for pound or current baddest man on the planet conversation will come up. So it's been a while. What's your latest boxing pound for pound? Will this weekend settle it? Or, you know, we got Naoya Inoue, who's just whooping some butts, the Japanese fighter as well.
He might be the best of them all for pound for pound. Yeah. He's unbelievable. And the kid he fought, the man he fought a couple days ago, he was undefeated also. And Inoue went right through him and beat him up. So he's certainly one of the top pound for pound guys. This fight will... yeah, it could be one in the winner of his fight two or vice versa. That's how good it is.
He's got a high finishing rate as well for being one of the lighter weight boxers. You know, he's just going out there and pummeling guys in a way.
Yeah, I was very impressed when I watched the video of it.
Mm-hmm. UNLV Hoops. All right, I think they made it as far as the quarterfinals, I think, in the Mountain West last year. Great defense at the beginning of the year, but it wasn't enough. Do you think they've retooled, and what do you think are the prospects for the Rebels this year?
In talking to some people who know some of these new recruits, I'm very bullish on them. I think that I won't say they can win the Mountain West, but I think they'll be one of the top three teams. San Diego State every year retools and their program is wonderful, but I look for UNLV to win enough games, do good in the conference tournament, and maybe this year go as an at-large to the tournament. Excuse me.
That would be great.
Yeah. That makes me happy. I've been waiting for that for a while. What about in football? You know, UNLV football, they've put so much money into the program. To me, it seems like so appetizing to new recruits to come to Las Vegas has changed so much. The facilities are top notch. Where they play is great. Do you feel like UNLV football can maybe take a step forward this year?
I do. I've talked with a coach. He came over here. He really is a coach. You can just talk to him and feel the energy. And I believe that I would say they should. They could win 6 or 7 games this year. I really think this will be a good turning point for them. he's got some good recruits, good kids coming in. The conference gets better every year, but I like with all the facilities, everything, all the advantages UNLV has, they should be one of the better teams in the Mountain West, and hopefully this year they will win 6 or 7 and get to go to at least some kind of bowl game. And for the sake of the city, I'm just hoping that the Pac-12 wakes up, brings in San Diego State, brings in UNLV, and really that's what UNLV needs eventually, is to get into one of the major five conferences.
By the way, next time you talk to that coach, remind him, George's godson. He's over at Portland State as a sophomore. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. As a sophomore, he's over there challenging for that starting job already. So he's getting some work done this year. We'll see how things go for all.
Was that the modern day kid?
He went to Orange Lutheran, but he played against Modern Day and Bosco. He held his own too. He was CIF Player of the Year in 2021. He had 48 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and like 4,000 yards. I mean, he studies the playbook. He's a good kid with a rifle arm. I think he can throw 73 yards in the air, the NFL football. Yeah.
We're talking about high school football a little bit. Gorman right now is, and it's all pretty subjective, but they're Modern Day is number one and they're number two and Bosco's number three in the first ratings, which is unbelievable to me. High school football in Las Vegas, especially for Bishop Gorman and obviously Liberty's had a big upsurge in their program. We have some good talent here now. And if Gorman goes undefeated, they could end up to be the number one team.
Nice. And so I want to ask you something about, you know, we're going to have Major League Baseball here in Las Vegas, right?
Right.
There's even talks of NBA getting a franchise out here. What effects is this going to have? Because we saw, like, when the Golden Knights showed up, it kind of did. Granted, UNLV basketball wasn't playing too well. Attendance did go down a little bit. But there were other options. You know, back in the day, there weren't too many options. If you wanted to see sports, that was kind of your go-to. Bringing in baseball and then possibly NBA, is that going to make the college program suffer a little bit? Or do you think as long as they're winning, we're going to pack that house?
Well, it's going to take time, especially in football, to really get big crowds. But they should be getting bigger crowds. And that's why getting in a better league would bring bigger crowds here. I think if basketball really starts having exciting winning seasons, I think you'll see at least 10,000 at every game. And that's one of my concerns is, yes, we're a pro sports city, but let's not forget the UNLV. And I think that it's up to them to keep marketing. There's enough room for everybody, I really believe.
It's hard to drive in Las Vegas and not see that giant sphere out there with all them images on there. There's a basketball on there for summer league. Mark, if they gave you the honor of running the show for one day, what kind of images or what would you throw up there on that sphere?
I would probably have some kind of a combat, probably a big UFC fight. That would be fun just to see two guys fighting. I would do that. I'm looking forward to I'm hoping to go to see you two. I can't wait to go inside there. But it's such a visual on the outside. It's amazing. And the big eyeball was a little freaky. But seeing that NBA Summer League ball right on there, that was pretty cool.
I actually saw an interview with somebody that just didn't really – a lot of people don't even know the Sphere's there that aren't from Las Vegas. And the eyeball, seeing it from an airplane, they said somebody kind of freaked out a little bit over that. And I can totally understand that. Yeah. I knew it was coming and looking at it, it was freaking me out. I can't imagine from a plane looking down what you're thinking. But I'll turn it over to George here.
All right. So, Mark, just a couple more. Hawaii. Dana shut down Hawaii. He basically said it's just never going to happen. Something along those lines. Why is that? I mean, Bellator's been there. They've been to the Blaisdell, which hosts 8,000. I've been to the Blaisdell. It's cozy, we'll say. But the Rainbows, oh no, that's not their name. The Warriors, I think. They have, I think, an arena that might be closer to 12 or 15. But I guess it comes down to regulation. There was talk about a stadium, the weather, but once again, I guess, I don't know if it's the tourism, the regulation. Why is it such a shutdown that they can't go there? The one thing about the UFC is they always figure it out. And I can't understand why they won't do it, especially with so many great Hawaiian fighters, past and present.
We were trying to deal with their tourism board, and they were going to promise us things and financial incentives, and they didn't come through. I do believe there'll be a day. Aloha Stadium's being redone, I guess, and refurbished. So I never use the word never. So I used it twice in one sentence. But I believe that it could happen someday.
In New York, we have Jones versus Miocic. It's going to be chilly then. So I know you're going to probably have your scarf. You'll right. probably be wearing your gloves too, right? Because it's going to be cold.
I will definitely have a scarf. And I'm looking forward to going back to the garden and seeing some kind of play, or to see if the Knicks are home. Yeah, so I'll do that.
But roll with me here. It is kind of okay. cold. So you'll probably be wearing your gloves, right, too, at okay. times?
Yeah.
Now, that said, it'll be 30 years. Is there a chance you may take off the gloves after that event and just say, hey, I'm done here. I got us regulated in every province in Canada, every state in the United States. You got the A's coming soon. We got this Sphere. I'm missing Crawford and Spence. When can Mark Radner say, hey, I've done a lot for the UFC? You're already in the Hall of Fame. They're not going to take you out. So when could enough be enough?
Everything in life is about health, no matter what. And as long as I feel good and have the energy, then I'll keep going. I love going to New York, but I'll keep the gloves on for a while.
Hey, all right, cool. Well, hey, if that's what you want to do, awesome. For some reason, I thought it might eat at you a little bit that there's so many events, the NFL draft, the Super Bowl's coming next year. We got Formula One, and then you might look at the schedule and go, oh, I got to be here. I got to be in this city, you know? So I didn't know if that was just maybe tugging at you, and I thought 30 years might be a good time for Mark to bounce.
No, I love boxing still, and this just so happens was a fight that I was hoping that would be put together maybe three or four years ago. It took them a long time to put it together, but boxing's on a good right now. It's becoming hot again, and I'm delighted for it. I like Tank Davis. I thought he was great. I thought Lomachenko fought really good the last fight when he fought here against Garcia. You know, there's just a lot of good stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the last one.
Okay.
Sunday events for the UFC. I know this might sound crazy because it'll instantly be, well, Saturday's fight night. We all know that. Okay, we do know that. But, you know, one of the highest rated television shows every week is Sunday Night Football during the season, during the fall. We know WrestleMania can be on a Sunday. NBA sometimes will go out of their way. They'll have a back-to-back, so the team will be home for two games in the playoffs. We get somehow to play Thursday and Sunday because they really want to fill Sunday. People watch television on Sunday. I don't know if I said WrestleMania, but again, WrestleMania, all those pro wrestling big events. Could the UFC ever just turn to a Sunday, maybe, and do an event then? I don't know. I've always just wondered that.
It's a good question. I don't know the actual dynamics. I know that Saturday night pay-per-view seems to work very well in all these sports. But yes, Sunday Super Bowl, you wouldn't have it any other day. Mm-hmm. But to my knowledge, we haven't talked about having a Sunday fight. Now, we're going to Sydney in 2 weeks, either 3 weeks, and that fight will be on a Sunday in Sydney, but it'll be broadcast here on a Saturday.
Right. Well, like I say, I know pro wrestling has sold a lot of pay-per-views on a Sunday. And here's why I ask. See this right here? Manchester United, they're going to be at the Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say they're going to sell it out because I know tickets are moving slow, but there's going to be probably at least 50,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so people will take Monday off and go to an event on a Sunday. And like I say, there's been events where pay-per-views have been sold on a Sunday. It's just a damn shame that you can't be at both events, Crawford and Spence. And I always wondered why the UFC maybe just didn't take a look at Sunday with it being so big in sports. That was really.
I guess that's not my department, and to the best of my knowledge, we haven't thought about it. But when you talk about big time soccer, look at the Mexican team. They sell out here on a Wednesday night with a few fights in the stands, though. But
yeah, an undercard. Talking about USA Mexico, that place was packed.
Right.
About a month ago. Yeah, here in Las Vegas. All right, sir. Well, listen, we have way more questions, but I know that you need to get going because you have UFC 291 in Salt Lake City, and it's coming up, folks. You got to tune in. And like Mr. Ratner did say, it is a really stacked card. Blachowicz and Fajeda in what I imagine will be a title eliminator type bout. It's vacant at 205 because of the unfortunate injury sustained by Jamal Hill. So right. The former champ Blachowicz versus the former champ Fajeda. Fajeda moving up for 185. That's going to be big. Wonderboy Stephen Thompson against Michelle Fajeda. Tony Ferguson versus Bobby Green. Hell, that could be a BMF right there. Those are some gangsters. Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland. Great, great card. And Mr. Radner, as always, thank you for the time. We hope to do this again very soon. I know I say that, and sometimes we wait longer than it should. I finally found my mistake. I've been texting your work line, and so when I wasn't getting an answer back, I was like, "What are we on the outs here at Junkie Radio with Ratner? What's going on?" And I finally figured it out that I was texting your work line. So now I got the other one. We'll do all this right, again.
All right, and George, thanks, and I'll go to Salt Lake in a couple hours, and we'll have a big fight card.
Awesome. All right, safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
You heard him goes, never say never.
I like that.
Dana White seemed to think that Hawaii is a no-go, but Mark Ratner says he thinks there's still a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And how about this?
Especially from him.
How about this? He's not ready to retire. I thought he might be.
I never want him to go away, but just the thought of him dropping mittens in the cage would be so hilarious that I hope that happens one day.
I know. I tried to set him up. He went along with it, but he says he's not tired. I just can't imagine that Sydney, like, if you've been there, I think you're good. You know what I mean? Now, granted, it is a paid vacation. Probably travels first class, and then he has the best seat in the house. I don't know. But there's so much happening in this town nowadays. Concerts, great food. Sporting events. I don't know. I would think that he's done enough. He's already in a bunch of Hall of Fames. Mm-hmm. And a little birdie told me once, goes, that I think it's going to be lucrative one day when he retires.
Yeah, it's got to be.
A la Joe Silva.
Mm-hmm.
You hardcores know what I'm talking about. I don't have to spell it out. Just like that secret sauce we were talking about with this whole BMF thing. Wink, wink. Yeah. We didn't get the summer league with them though. Lakers went 2-3. Cavaliers went 6-0. But summer league's always even a hit here in Las Vegas as well. Have you seen those messy games, guys? All the stars that are going. You know, South Florida is a popular destination to vacation or to just hang out and party. But these messy games are turning into something.
Yeah, it's like it's a place to be, and it's putting so many eyes on the sport. On MLS. By the way, I don't know if you heard, but the Mexican League and MLS next year will be in Copa Libertadores.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they have been in the past, but that's good to hear. Or maybe they've been in the other one. But that's awesome. All right. Mm-hmm. You know what's not awesome is AJ McKee has a staph infection on his knee. He's out of the lightweight tournament quarterfinal against Patricky Frady. So they started out with 8. We've already had the other 3 quarterfinals. They're down to 3. The winner of this fight would kind of be part of the fearsome foursome. Of course, McKee versus Familia Frady has always been good. He's 1-1 against the younger brother. But this one's just not happening.
Yeah, you know, it really makes me mad because of what it is. You know, it's a staph infection, and it's preventative. You know, those things can be preventative. It's you never know. Sometimes it's the fighter. Sometimes it's the mats. It could be former colleague John Morgan. He got staph infection from just putting his elbow during an interview on the apron. Mm-hmm. But it's so preventative, man. For a fight to lose out on the big paycheck that he probably gets from it, all the training, all because of that, really sucks.
Yeah, I remember that about Morgan. You know, a lot of times people ask me, why do you wear long sleeve a lot? And I'm not a germaphobe, but especially if I'm going to be at Extreme Couture, I think I get elbow bumped more than fist bumped and high five or my hand shook. But yeah, just leaning on things or whatever. I don't know. I see these construction workers, you know, in 115 degree, and they got the full thing on. They don't want to get the sunburn, so they have long sleeves. They got the neck gaiters or whatever to protect the back of their neck. That's where the whole thing, I know this is a derogatory term, but it's relevant to what I'm saying. You hear the term redneck, and I think it just happens for people that have been working out on farms, and they get burned, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why a lot of them cover up there as well, so it's not so bad. You know, once you're back inside, you're back in 68 degree weather, right?
Yeah.
All right, folks. Listen, we're going to cut on out of here. There's lots of stuff to look over at MMA Junkie to prepare you for the fights. They had a media day yesterday where each fighter stood there and talked to the media. You know, Pajeda says he's in good spirits because he's not cutting the additional 20 pounds to get to 85. He's fighting at 205, so he's feeling pretty good. Bobby Green says, man, I love the concept of MMF. It separates the real from the fake. Okay, that was kind of interesting. Pajeda was saying, hey, MVP, come on over. Ghost Pajeda versus MVP would be great to watch in the octagon, right?
Yeah, striker versus striker would be amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, Chiesa hasn't fought in almost 2 years, getting his thoughts as he prepares for Kevin Holland. That's in there. Stephen Thompson talking about his fight, but also predicting that Edwards will take Colby Covington apart. I've been hearing more Colbys will beat Edwards, and I think Colby will beat Edwards. But lately I've been hearing, you know, a little bit of love for Leon.
I mean, if Leon is improving, then you have more of a case. But if you're just taking what they've done to now, I just feel like Colby, I feel safer picking him.
Yeah. And so another thing I want to point people to is the schedule tab over at MMA Junkie. If you go there, you'll see what the latest updated times are for all the events that are taking place. Like Showtime, for example, is going to be showing the Frady Roberto de Souza fight card. All right. That's the Ryzen Bellator fight card at 11 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And, so there's lots of stuff to watch this weekend. And so that schedule tab will update you on who's now fighting. So, again, D'Souza in for McKee. And when you can watch. Remember, Saturday, after the UFC pay-per-view, the Bellator card will be taking place. It'll be Sunday. Don't get confused. It'll be Sunday in Japan, but Saturday here. It's called Bellator X Ryzen 2 or Bellator versus Ryzen 2, something like that. Patrick Frady versus Roberto de Souza and Kyoji Horiguchi versus Makoto Shinryu for the inaugural flyweight title. That Italian Stallion guy, Danny Sabatello, goes, he's back as well versus Magomed Magomedov. And of course, UFC 291 on Saturday. Goes and I will be hosting the watch along here on MMA Junkie. Don't forget that every Monday, Goes and I are on the Spinning Back Click live, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, where we discuss everything that took place the past week. All right, folks, enjoy the weekend. Lots of MMA. Don't forget about Crawford and Spence. If you have multiple TVs and the budget's unlimited, watch them all. That's going to be a great, great boxing match. And then Manchester United on Sunday night as they close out their tour in America. They'll be facing Borussia Dortmund. Look for a familiar face. There might be floating maybe floating one around there at Allegiant Stadium. All right, folks. Talk to you on Saturday. Go out and be a champion.